As Maura Healey continues to set up her new state government, the first woman to hold the position of governor is reflecting on her own tenure 2 decades ago. Jane Swift became acting governor of Massachusetts in 2001. She was also the first person to give birth while in the state's top job. Before all that, she was the youngest woman ever elected to the Massachusetts Senate. All those firsts didn't come without a cost. In this commentary, Swift reflects on how the media focused on her physical appearance and family life. She notes that those topics can still drown out all others when it comes to women in power.
About a month ago, I fled from a Massachusetts Women in Politics event. For reasons unknown to me at the time, I felt angry, sad, and confused. I just had to get out of there. At first, I thought it might be grief. My husband, Chuck, died just over a year ago, and February is full of personal landmines. It took me a while to get to the heart of my frustration. And surprise, it wasn't grief. In Massachusetts, women in politics are achieving extraordinary things. There are lots of women in positions of power and influence. It's a reality that seemed awfully far from reach while I was on Beacon Hill. But here I am, the proverbial skunk at the garden party. As governor, the majority of press coverage I received was about my body, my hair and wardrobe, and the audacity of my decision to start a family. But in recent months, I've reemerged in a more sympathetic light. For example, a Boston magazine writer came out to Williamstown to make amends, of sorts, for showing up on my doorstep, uninvited, 2 decades ago. Back then, I'd chewed her out for violating my privacy while standing in my bathrobe very pregnant with twins. Until now, I haven't ever discussed what actually made me so upset that evening. At the time, our house was home to older people struggling with health issues and their many cats. We could barely afford to convert it to a two-family dwelling. I wasn't exactly inviting the media in, because I felt embarrassed. We weren't poor, but we were only steps from it. I didn't fit the profile of what a governor should look like, and I paid for it dearly. I've never forgotten that feeling. The muscle memory of that discomfort and shame is what came flooding back at that Massachusetts Women in Politics soiree. At the event, nearly everyone commented on my hair and appearance. "You look great. I love your hair. Love that outfit." But few asked me about my work. I guess by traditional beauty standards, I do look better. I've got a more expensive haircut. My wardrobe has definitely improved. Grief has gotten me on a consistent workout schedule and an inconsistent eating schedule. Though trust me, I go back to having bad hair and extra pounds in a heartbeat if it meant having Chuck by my side. In all those interactions, I was being lauded for attaining some superficial status of woman to be admired. I couldn't bear it. The focus on my looks, even as a positive, felt just as diminishing as the negative. It frustrated me just as much as the press coverage did 2 decades ago, perhaps even more so coming from a room full of empowered women who should know better. The world remains entirely too focused on hair, hemlines, and husbands. And the implicit bias against women continues to be fueled not just by gender, but also race and class. Even those of us who fight it, practice it. So the next time you're at a work event, no matter how pink or festive, condition yourself to make your first comment about work. Here's a good icebreaker. What have you been working on?
use every chance I get. I sat alone in the dark one night, tuning in by remote. I found a preacher who spoke of the light, but there was brimstone in his throat. He'd show me the way according to him in return for my personal check. I flipped my channel back to CNN and I lit another cigarette.